Hello, everyone. This is Rochelle Marie Lawson, the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, and I want to welcome you to Blissful Living. I want to take this time right now to thank the sponsors of our show, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, and you can check them out at healthhealingwellness.com. They have some wonderful specials for all of you that are looking to improve your health and well-being. And if you're looking for a natural way to do that, you've tried other things that just haven't worked or maybe worked for a little bit and messed up some other stuff, or you just really want to get back in connection with the natural way of having health and well-being, then I highly suggest that you check out the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company at healthhealingwellness.com. And then our other sponsor is a telecommunications installation company that not only takes pride in the work that they do for their customers, but they take pride in the health and well-being of their employees, and thus why they selected to be a sponsor of this show. If you have someone that you know or you work for a company and you guys are in need of a really good telecommunications installation company, particularly with regards to installation of voice data, fiber, wireless systems, electronic display boards, anything that has to do with the telecommunications industry, then I highly suggest that you connect with All Day Cable Inc. And you can connect with them at alldaycableinc.com. They've been in business for 26 years, so they've survived the dot-com bust and the real estate and construction and just business economic downturn, and they're still around. So that tells you a lot about the credibility and the wherewithal of the telecommunications company, All Day Cable Inc. Again, check them out at alldaycableinc.com. So today's show, we're going to be doing a little bit of talking with today's guest. Her name is Courtney Admonson, and she is the author of a book called Teachings from God, Greeting Your Soul and Revealing the Divine Within. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about Courtney, because, you know, this information that I'm going to share with you about her may just blow your mind a little bit, because let me just tell you about Courtney. Courtney began her path as a seeker at a young age, progressing to the point that these teachings begin to flow through her effortlessly and with complete love and joy, starting at the age of 16. In the beginning, the wisdom was received from her own evolution and understanding, but after a short time, she was guided to share it with many people and to share it with as many people as possible through teachings from God. Since then, she has worked single-mindedly on getting these teachings out to the public, not only through the work of the book, but expanding into sharing her insights through publishing articles and speaking. In addition to her dedication to the advancement of teaching, Courtney is actively progressing towards Qigong, a Qigong healing certification, as well as craniosacral therapy certification. And as a classically trained violinist, she is engaging her passion for music in new and more free expression ways. Now, her book, Teaching from God, has given Courtney the inspiration and tools to create the life that excites her. And more than anything, she wants to inspire you to do the same. Isn't that beautiful? So I just want to take this opportunity to welcome my very special guest, Courtney Admonson, to Blissful Living. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rochelle, and I just feel so honored to be here.
It's great to have you. I mean, it seems like your journey started when you were young, and I think a lot of people's journey starts when they're young, but a lot of times they don't realize it until they're way older. The blessing with you is that you realized it when you were, 16. And how old are you now?
I'm 20. I just turned 20. So,
well, happy birthday and welcome to the 20s. I could think of back of when I was in my 20s, and it was a really great time. Lots of things happen to you when you're in your 20s, but a lot of good things. You know, I don't mean bad things. I mean a lot of good things just with life and, you know, growing and traveling down your path to bliss. So welcome to the show and happy birthday. Are you related to the basketball player with the same last name?
I don't believe I am. If I am, I wouldn't know.
Okay, because, yeah, I think his name is Lou, and I'm not sure who he plays for now, but he used to play for the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm from the Bay Area, and so I'm like, hey, I wonder if she's related to Lou. But, you know, never mind. I am a sports fan, so it's just,
okay.
You know, it's just that's just how things go. So I want to jump right in because, first of all, anybody out there listening, this might be a great time for you to get a piece of paper, a pen, or something to write back. Sit back in your favorite chair if you can, relax, and listen to the show. I'm sure it's going to be very, very intriguing and awakening and enlightening for you. So you might want to take some notes. And these notes you could be, you know, possibly be sharing with others around you that you love and care about. Or if you just want to sit back and relax with your favorite beverage, hot beverage, a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, a cup of hot cocoa, or nice warm water with some lemon in it, you're welcome to do that as well. If you're driving, you know, just stay tuned. You could always listen to the show again. But just tune in and try to be present. Of course, if you're driving, I want you to be present with what you're doing. With regards to driving the automobile, but, you know, if not, then really just sit back and enjoy the information and the conversation that me and Courtney are going to have. So, Courtney, let's just jump in with some questions. Can you tell us how this chapter of I don't want to say teachings from God, but how this chapter of your life that led to teachings from God began?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I was priming for this for a really long time, and I just didn't know it. I think it had been kind of brewing in me, and at the point when I was 16, March 12, 2012, when it fully opened, that was kind of just showing me the fruit of my labor and all the work that I had been doing up until that point, and seeking and asking questions and just having that yearning inside of me. And I had been meditating for a really long time. I learned Qigong when I was 9 years old, and I met this amazing master here in Minnesota who has just completely touched my life and my family's life, and so I learned at a very young age that we have power, that as human beings we have power inside of us, and we're not always taught that. And so he kind of helped me to find that within myself and to learn how to heal my physical body and to open up the spiritual gateways as you do that. So it was March 12, 2012, when this communication, how I delivered this book, Teachings from God, started to flow through me. And it was so effortless and so beautiful. I remember this day very vividly because it was a point when I felt that I truly started to understand my true nature and why I'm here. And all of those years of wanting to know answers and feeling lost, it just started to come together at this point. And so I remember on this day, before these more universal teachings started coming up and the messages became deeper, I started communicating with my great-grandma and my grandma on my mom's side, which I never met, and they were guides for me in the beginning, and they told me, you know, you're opening to something very profound, and you're going to be a spiritual teacher, and your job now is to start to share these messages with the world. And
now, how did you come about, you know, tapping into the communication with those elders?
Yeah, this opened up on that specific day where I was meditating, and I had a very different sensation that came to me. I was sitting there and going into my meditation as usual, which usually just to me meant I sit there, I empty my mind, I take a deep breath, and I would say this mantra: I am in the universe, the universe is in my body, the universe and I combine together. And I learned that from Master Lin, and I did that every time I meditated, and that just kind of put me in that space. But as I said those words this time in my mind, I felt a golden liquid light come through the top of my head. And as this presence came into me, I felt weightless. I felt unconditional love and this amazing wisdom that I just felt complete all of a sudden. I felt like, whoa, there's more to me than I thought. And it was like my human self just became exponential. It's like I felt like my body became bigger, my light became bigger, and it was almost too much for my physical body, and I started to feel this energy coming down into my hands. And as it reached my hands, they started to kind of twitch. And so I went over to the computer and I opened up a blank Word document, and that's when they started to type, and they started to just say, I love you, thank you for being here, there's something amazing that we have to share with you. And it was so unconditionally loving, and I didn't know at first really what that was or who it was. And that's when my great-grandma came in, and she kind of explained, you know, there's some guides here that want to work with you, and, you know, I'm going to help you. And I stuck around for you to help you with this, and then I'm going to kind of transform into what I now call the oneness. So it seemed that she was kind of waiting in some medium, some middle point, not fully ascended into, you know, the state of oneness, source energy. And she was helping me to kind of get introduced to this. And then when I started to sink into it more and realize how beautiful it was and how profound it really was, I just became so close to this presence. And it felt like I had angels with me all of the time. It felt like I didn't worry about anything. I had complete trust in everything, and I saw no fear anymore. And it was this point in my journey which, you know, now when I look back at it, I can't imagine how I lived that way for a while. It was it was blissed out all the time, and so these teachings started to come forth, and they got deeper and deeper as I practiced this every day.
Now let me ask you, because at, you know, 16, 17, you know, most teenagers are, you know, involved in high school and, you know, activities that surround high school and their friends and all of that. Did you share any of this information with any of your friends around you?
That's a good question. I was actually at an online school at this time. At the time that this started opening up, I switched to online school because the other, you know, the in-school type of education was not working for me in many ways. Socially, just, you know, my learning style, it wasn't working. So I was at home in a place of like, okay, I just want to be myself. I don't want to worry about any of this extra stuff. And but I did have other friends through music and art and all the other kind of extracurricular things that I was involved with. But I did share it with a few select friends, and I got some very different reactions. I think I shared it with maybe two or three friends, maybe two, I think. And the first reaction was, oh, that's cool, and that was it. It was very bland, and I was really put off by that because it was like, I'm sharing something that's very close to me, and there was just no concept of really what I was speaking about. So I kind of just left it, and I decided I wouldn't share it with that person anymore. And then the other reaction was, at first, like, I don't believe you at all. I see what's happening, and I actually did this process in front of her, and I shared what was happening. We were at a music camp together, and we had a little time in our dorm together, and I did this, and she could see what was happening, and I was typing so fast, and there was no way that I could come up with that on my own. But her reaction was, wow, that was a lot less religious than I thought.
Oh, okay.
My reaction was, yeah, of course. I mean, this isn't religion. This is about, this is a universal thing. This is connecting with our home, our source. And we all have that ability. So it was, I could see it was a little bit of working through some preconceived notions about what this might be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I've talked about it more with this friend, and I mean, she thinks it's cool. She thinks it's cool because I'm helping people as I'm sharing these things. And
so I'm sure when you come across someone for the first time or the first, they, because of the word God, you know, they automatically think it has some ties to some religious connotation, or you're going to be preaching to them about some religion, you know, or some, you know, religious facet, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you get into a conversation with them, they realize that it's has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with your, you know, with your relationship to the divine source or God, or, you know, the universal power or whatever, you know, people want to call it. But it has nothing to do with religion. And I'm sure that you see them go from, where they're looking like, what is she getting ready to come at me with, to opening to receive the information that you want to share with them.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. You know, I use the word God in the title for a specific reason, because in my day-to-day life, when I'm talking about this with family and friends, I've never used the word God, because to me, I've always associated that word with a man in the sky, or what many people believe is a man in the sky that judges us and or grants us wishes if we do good things. And, you know, whenever I heard of other kids that would pray to God and go to church, and the way that they would talk about it, I thought, wow, that seems so, it seems so hard to believe to me, because I thought, how can you put all of that on one guy, one human that apparently looks like us? I mean, it just didn't resonate with me to think of God in a human way. I realized that we're putting human ideas on God, and that's how we're defining it. And so, but for me, as I was trying to come up with a title for this book, you know, I thought, oneness, that's the word, all that is, that's the word, that's what explains it. But do people really know what that is? Do people, when they pick up a book, do they, you know, are they going to be turned off by that, just for the simple fact that they might not get what that means? So I use the word God because it's a word and a concept that, you know, I would say 80 to 90% of the world really believes in.
Yeah, it's like a universal, you know, you say it, and whether people believe in God or not, you know, it's a word that they can grasp onto.
Right. Right.
So,
and I want to be as universal as possible. I don't want to be new agey. I don't want to be ultra spiritual. I want to show that this can be something for all people. And I believe it should be, because, you know, what we really want is to evolve as
right.
one, as one people, as one universe. And I do believe we are co-creating together. And even though it may not seem like it on the outside, I know we are. And so I want, you know, this to be a guidebook for people, to take it where they are on their journey. You know, whether they believe in a singular God, or they believe in, you know, Jesus Christ as their master, or Buddha, or whoever it is, it's like you said, it's about the relationship to the divine or to that higher source. And when we have that, we can evolve on a personal spiritual level, and then as we open up more in that way, we see things more universally.
I see. Now, you know, I want to just talk a little bit. The book opens with speaking about the purpose of Earth experience, our experience here on Earth, and the nature of the physical being, and how asking is essential to spiritual growth. Now, I believe we all have a free will. That's, you know, all I've heard about, and yet sometimes it doesn't really seem like we do. Why is asking through free will so vital to one's spiritual development?
Well, you're right. Free will is the foundation, really, of our existence as human beings. And so our job is to knock on the door. And when we knock on the door, then spirit opens it. But part of that law of being human is that we get free will. And if we don't ask, then that information can't present itself to us. And so, you know, there's a quote in my book that says, "You feel you are blind, but you have intelligence you refuse to look at." And I laughed when I read that, because I think it's just so typical of us is, you know, we have so much intelligence within us, and we don't use that to our benefit. And you know, so basically, you know, free will is what grants us that wisdom to come forth, that universal wisdom. And another quote just that I felt was important that I drew from this book, it says, "You must have utter faith that they will open. The moment you put your walls up, your fear and distrust in the universe's ability to provide for you blocks you from being in a position of not allowing universal support. If you follow your heart and let the doors open with receptivity, trust, and less evaluation from the mind, you will notice fluid transitions, life and decisions will become so easy." So I think that really draws it all together, and it makes so much sense to me now, because I realized when I started asking, that's when the opening really came for me, and that's when all of this started coming through me, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? I had to look up words, to be honest with you. I would sit there and do this with my mom, and I would ask her when we were done, I would ask her, what does this word mean? And sometimes we would have to look it up. And I thought, how can this be coming through if I have no concept of any of this? And
right.
I realized it's because I was asking, and I didn't know that I had the answers, but I did.
Wow. Very, very enlightening. Now, has this work changed your point of view on life and, you know, sparked you to have different types of motivations?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I've kind of let my passion be my guide and motivation in my life, and I stopped judging myself, and I stopped judging others about where I thought I should be or where I thought they should be. And I realized before it really came out of fear, and it came out of, you know, oh my gosh, I have to do this or else. And so I started to evaluate my own fears that were truly coming from my ego, and I let that awareness transform my experience. And, you know, so I started to become ready to surrender without needing a plan for my life, and there was no more survival mechanism going on. It was me watching for the spirit signposts along the way and then following them with trust. And so that's been my motivation now, is just to be able to ask for what I want and then consciously listen. Because so often we ask but we don't listen. And
mm-hmm.
that our prayers aren't being answered when we're the ones that are answering our own prayers. So I think it's so ironic. I think it's funny now, and I should probably laugh at myself more for the things that I still do to myself without consciousness, but that's how it works, being human.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's so true. It really is. You know, many people, you know, they feel the world is a scary place, and there's so many situation with regards to that, you know, what the media shows us, what we see on TV, and everything is fear-based. Everything is fear-based. Even when they're trying to get you to buy a product, they, you know, insinuate that if you don't buy this product, something bad is going to happen to you, or it's always, you know, very fearful, very scary. But you present an ideal of utopia, you know, a world that's kind of a utopia experience. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, we have this collective consciousness and societal norm, I think, that tell us many things about what reality is and what the point of being human is, and often they're just ideas that kind of, you know, spiral around the world, and we don't really know if they're true or not, and it can be really confusing. But I think, you know, collectively we're really driven by fear, and often we feel separated from the source energy that birthed us. So I think it's natural that we might feel it's a foreign or silly concept to, you know, until we really tune into our true calling and realize that this connection is what we've always been yearning for. So, you know, I think, you know, it's important to shed our conditionings of what should be or shouldn't be, and then we open that space to essentially, you know, come back home, come back to our true nature. And so it can be seen as a utopia, but it can also be seen as who we really are. And maybe this utopia is actually reality. And maybe what's happening all around us, what we call our day-to-day living, is really the dream. We don't know that. We don't know that. So for me, as I've gone on my own journey, I've realized that this is my true place. This is my home within myself, and I've cultivated this, and this feels more real than anything else. So for me, that's what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for everyone else that has read my book and begun exploring themselves in this way, they've found that same thing to be true, that they feel like they've woken up from a dream, and all of a sudden, you know, their ears are perked up, and oh my gosh, you know, stuff is happening around here, and I had no idea. And we just don't know what's reality until we focus our attention in a different way, and then we see a new picture.
I like that. I like the way that resonates. That sounds really nice and really, I guess, like a utopian experience. It's a beautiful thing. You know, how, you know, when a person goes through a process of writing a book, There's things that evolve that you may not even think about. You may not even be aware of. You may not, you're just writing. You don't have any anticipation as to what may be unfolding or what may unfold as you write the book and basically take your journey with regards to writing the book. What would you say to someone that is kind of looking or teeter-tottering, they're not really sure if they found their purpose or if what they're doing with regards to maybe, I'm going to say again, writing a book is the right thing, the right journey for them. What would you say to that person the moment in time when they're just feeling at that crossroads?
Yeah, and I think it's confusing, it's scary, it's, you know, you feel like you're on the edge, you feel like you're, you know, childlike. That's been my observation. Whenever we feel like we're at a crossroads, I think most of our instinct, our first instinct is kind of to, you know, isolate and, you know, kind of like hug yourself like, oh my gosh, what's out there? And you feel very small and fragile. And for me, and I feel like I've had a lot of these points in my life already where I feel like I'm at one of those crossroads and everything that I've done up until that point has felt right, and then all of a sudden it doesn't feel right anymore. And it's like I have to change and I don't want to and I don't know what's next. And for me, that's when I've been feeling at my weakest point, but also at my strongest point, in the sense that it forces me to go within myself and to reevaluate what's happening and to maybe open myself up more to receiving guidance. I think when we think we have it all right and this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life, we can be closed off to our own intuition and receiving divine guidance, because we get a little bit big-headed sometimes. We think we have it all figured out. And when we have a point in our life where we get really broken down, it forces us to go within ourselves. And for me, when I'm at that point and I've surrendered, and I get guidance. And what comes through is usually supporting me in that next step. And so I got guidance when I was feeling that classical music and having a performance degree was not for me anymore. And I, you know, from a very young age, I wanted to be a classical violinist. I wanted to perform with the Minnesota Orchestra. I wanted to do all of these things and compete. And all of a sudden, 11th, 12th grade, I'm feeling like burnt out. I'm feeling like I love this, but I can't do this. And there's something else that wants to come through, and I don't know what it is yet. And I surrendered, and I said, okay, my motivations are not my priority right now. I don't want to get caught up in my own motivations. I want to see what's underneath that wants to come through. And that's when my book really just started flowing, because there was no resistance and it was just surrendering to the process. And I think in life in general, no matter where you are on your journey and what your passions and goals are, when you get to a point where you're just ready to see what's there and get out of your own way, then you can feel good about where you're at. And you can feel there's purpose of where you're at, even when you're a little bit scrambled up. So, you know, for me right now, I feel like I'm at one of those places where everything on the outside is really coming in and fitting perfectly together. And I can't feel all of those pieces yet. I feel like there's still a lot that I'm sorting through and recalibrating. And it's just about being okay with that, being okay with where you're at, not feeling like, you know, shoot, I missed the boat. I have no idea where I'm supposed to be. Therefore, I'm in the wrong place. And when we get caught up like that, it just dives us, you know, deeper and deeper and deeper into that negative spiral. And I think we're always in the right place. It's about where we focus our intention. And if we know with confidence that it's always a journey and we're always progressing to, you know, be our greatest self, then it can kind of take the pressure off a little bit, and you can open up to, okay, I'm right here, right where I need to be right now. But then, and then listen for what's next, and then take those.
I like that. I like that. I like how you said it's okay that I'm right here, right now, but be open and listen to what's next. And usually what's next comes in a whisper and not a yell or a shout, right? And so
right.
Being okay.
Sometimes you're not listening.
Yeah, exactly. But being okay with being okay with what's going on right now in your life is okay. It's perfect. It's a great place to be, because when you, I think, sink into the resonance of being okay with it, that's when you're able to hear the things that you can't hear, and that's when you're able to open up to receive the information that you're able to receive.
Right, and I think that should be our first priority, because we all have resistance. I have resistance. You know, there's things that I don't want to see, I don't want to hear, but, you know, it closes us off, ultimately, when we do that. It closes us off from feeling connected and feeling empowered and feeling like it's all good, you know, even if these emotions are happening and even if, you know, you're working through things, there's still order in the chaos. So I think it's so important.
Yeah, I think that's some great words of wisdom. What you just shared right there is just being okay with where you are right now, instead of not being at ease with where you are right now and looking for whatever, this, that, or the other, but being okay with where you are right now and knowing that that's okay, that's exactly where you should be, is a very comforting kind of anxiety-releasing, you know, state of being. Now, when you tapped into Source and, you know, began writing the book and, you know, sharing some of the, you know, the wisdom that you were receiving and some of the messages that you were receiving with others, beyond, you know, people looking at you like, yeah, really, or what religious, you know, doctrine is she going to bestow upon me now? What was some of the positive feedback that you got with regards to some of the wisdom that you were sharing?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think as I've continued to open myself up more and more and not have as much fear about the reactions, I get more positive reactions because I'm sharing at a deeper level and I'm not veiling as much. And that's really hard, you know, whatever it is for you, specifically, listeners, you know, we all have something that we kind of, we're not ready to fully open up. We're not ready to share with ourselves, or we're not ready to share with others. And I've realized that the more I have full confidence in what I'm sharing and full belief in what I'm sharing, and it comes from a really heart-centered place, that's when the positive comes back to me and I start getting affirmations. And on the other side, I've gotten a lot of affirmations that, you know, I focus too much on what other people might think, and then it comes back to me in that way. So it's been a learning experience, but a lot of the positive feedback that I've gotten is, you know, just, wow, you've given me a really beautiful gift to see myself in a new way, see myself as a creator of my reality, and not feeling as victim, not feeling like it's necessary to protect yourself so much and surround yourself so much, you know, and hide yourself from the world. it's been an amazing experience to help people to link themselves up to their higher self and their divine nature. And that's essentially what is going on in this book. I mean, that's the journey. It's helping every single reader to do that. But I've also worked with people individually, one-on-one, and done readings for them. And that experience is really beautiful because when I'm vocalizing, you know, through words, when I'm speaking to them, well, I should say when their higher self is speaking to them, a lot of people just break down and start crying. I mean, it's a physical experience. It's the words, the love that's in the words. And it's almost too good to be true for them. They just can't handle it. It's like, whoa, oh my gosh, I was gone for a long time. I mean, that really is the reaction that I get from a lot of people. Oh my gosh, I've been blinded for so long. And then they realize that this support system is with them all day, every day, and has been forever. For, you know, we're eternal beings, and it's been with us forever. We've never lost it, and we never will. And so it can be a really emotional experience for a lot of people in the most positive way.
Now, do you share any ways with regards to how a person can kind of tap into that in the book?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it really comes down to a personal experience, how much that person is willing to go within themselves. And my experience was I had such a strong yearning to see myself as pure as possible, to clear out anything that was blinding me from the ultimate truth and from my ultimate truth. And I just wanted so badly to do that I was willing to see all of the junk. I was willing to bring up stuff to the surface that might be hard. And a lot of people are not ready to do that. And therefore, the book will meet you where you're at, and you'll only see as much as you're ready for. So it's the kind of book that really takes you where you're at, and it's amazing how different people can experience this book. And really, any whatsoever, I believe. But for this one, you know, I think it's so personal, and what is presented back to you is in response to what you're asking and what you're ready for. And, you know, so if you truly, from a really soul level, if you're really deeply wanting to open yourself up in that way that I have, and I think many people are doing that now, it will present itself back to you, and you'll go on that journey and of discovery. And it will be a personal one. It won't be mine. It will be, you know, your own
person. A person's own individual journey. I know in your book, you know, there's some, you know, some things that people can practice, and, you know, you share ways of how, you know, you have these tools in, so, quote unquote, in a toolbox. And, you know, there might be a little bit of homework that a person might have to do with regards to going in, you know, reading your book.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to, you know, tapping into the wisdom of the divine source, a lot of times, you know, like you said, that worked for you and kind of came about with, you know, you going into your deep meditative practice and having a really deep experience. The wisdom that's in our physical body, I know you talk about that in the book. How does one begin to unlock that wisdom in the physical body to discover, you know, additional hidden information and additional hidden talents that even though it may be in the complex of their mind, they may not even know that it it exists in their physical body. Can you share with the listeners out there how, you know, one thing that they could do to kind of tap into that wisdom of the physical body?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a big thing just to start off with is it's important to not go in with an agenda. I think a lot of people have come to me and said, you know, okay, you know, your book talks about the Akashic Records. How do I do that? And they want like a 12-step process type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing about this book is a 12-step process. And I learned that in a, you know, kind of hard way because I was the same way going into it. I just wanted, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, tell me how to do it. And what came back to me was, you have to listen, and we're not going to give you the steps. That's your journey. So I think, yeah, don't go in with an agenda, and then you'll have less resistance to seeing ultimate truth that's there. But what I've learned, and there is a chapter about this golden toolbox within our physical beings, it's really there to guide us to our innate. And so we're being guided to, we're being prompted to learn to use all of those tools. And so there's a sort of metaphor in there that kind of talks about how we often use our toolbox as humans, and we will try to build a whole house with one screwdriver. And it doesn't work that way. We have to use all of them. So, you know, for me, I've tapped into my physical body more by asking it, really asking it what it wants and what does it have to tell me. And it's a learning process and a journey to be able to get more in tune with it. But I think a really crucial thing is to just ask it what it has to say, and then listen. And it will tell you through the physical sensations in your body. And, you know,
Can you give us an example of that? Just like, you know, someone out there might be listening and like, well, I talk to my body all the time, but I don't exactly know what I should be expecting when it's communicating back to me. So can you give an example of, you know, listening to what it has to say, or knowing that whatever is going on within the body is actually telling you what it has to say?
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't speak in words, as we know very well. So we have to learn to speak its language. And so what you do, as I kind of said in the beginning, is just kind of set your mind aside and open your mind. And for me, I would ask my body, maybe, what foods do you want? Or more specifically, maybe just hold up one food and you know, hold it to your stomach. And this is seriously just coming to me right now, so I don't know where it's going to go. But and feel how it feels as you introduce that food to you. And have an open mind that your diet might not be what you're craving. Your diet might be something completely different. And something that I've learned is, you know, we, through our many existences, many lives on Earth, say if you, you know, spend most of your lifetimes, you know, in Mexico, let's say, your diet is going to be, or your palate is going to be designed in that way, and your body's going to want those kind of foods. And so then, you know, then if they come back and, you know, in America and you know, they're fed fried food every single day, their body's going to reject it. And it might not make sense into your mind, but your body has all of that wisdom. So what you want to do is really get in touch with your physical body. And how you do that, it's hard to explain because it is individual. But I've used muscle testing a lot for me, or, you know, use other mediums that can help you to maybe heighten your intuition more. I've used pendulums before, and I'm kind of just talking about food right now, but in reference to kind of finding your hidden talents, and for me, and I'll give this example, I have never been in my past as a child or as a teenager, early teenager, I was not comfortable at all speaking in front of people. I was very, very shy as a kid, like for a long time. I had a hard time speaking in front of just like extended family, people that were my family. I was very, very not comfortable with that. And when I got put up to this task to write this book and to start speaking, I had to go to my physical body and I had to go within myself and say, okay, I realize there's a golden toolbox in there. I have no idea how I'm going to use it or utilize it, but I want to access this part of me that is comfortable speaking in front of people, that can write this book, you know, that can show up and do these interviews. And all I had to do was ask, and I started to get comfortable. And I cannot explain to you how it happened. I didn't follow a process. I asked, and I followed the guidance. And I'm 100% comfortable right now doing this. I'm not nervous. And, you know, when my family listened to my first interview a couple weeks ago, they started cracking up. They were like, I can't believe that's you. Like, you would never do this before. So it's a testimony to what we have access to when we have intention. And though I can't exactly give a specific example, for me, that's what I've done.
Now, do you have any practices that you recommend for either spiritual growth or personal development?
Well, I found in my life that it's important to just really tune into what feels good to you. For me, I've had many different teachers and books that I've used to help me to kind of grow spiritually. And, you know, I think it really comes down to what feels good to you. And I would say, don't just follow what I'm saying, you know, tune into what feels good to you and allow your body and your intuition to guide you in the direction. There's no right or wrong way to do this. There's no one Bible that works. You know, my book is not for everyone, but, you know, you follow what feels good to you on your path. And when you do have an open mind and you do look for the, you know, those little nudges from spirit, then you're presented with some tools. And for me, I will, you know, maybe go in a bookstore, feel guided to go in a bookstore one day, and one will just pop out for me, and then I will read it and go, oh my gosh, this helped me so much. So I follow the signposts, and, you know, for me, I've had Master Chun Yi Lin to help me. I've had Deepak Chopra, his work has impacted me, and Esther Hicks, and many people that have helped me. But I think it's personal, and I wouldn't recommend any one thing because I do believe it's personal, and the reason why I wanted to talk about that is because so many times I see people saying, this is the way, and convincing people that their way is the way, and that puts so much pressure on people to feel it right, then they feel like they have to make it right for them, and I don't think that's a good way to do it. I think if you don't feel called to it, then find what you are feeling called to, but let it come from a pure place and not just what your mind thinks, but what really feels good in your gut.
Love it, love it, love it. Now is the time that I want you to share with people how they can get in touch with you and how they could get a copy of the book and all of that good stuff.
Sure. Well, I have a website. It's called teachingsfromgod.com, and I have a little tab up there on the top that will say store, and if you click on that, you'll find a new window will come up, and it will bring you to, there's two copies you will see. You will see an ebook copy and a paperback copy, and so you can choose either one, and it is through Amazon, but it would probably be easier to just find that all on my website. And then I also have, links to contact me and all of my social media pages right on the homepage there. So if you go down to the bottom, you'll see Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Gaia TV and all these fun things that I'm on. And I do all of them. So I really, I make it my top priority to respond to people and be really connected. So that's the best way to get in touch with me.
So everyone, there you have it, the wonderful and very guided and grounded Courtney Admonson, who has this wonderful book, Teachings from God, that I guarantee that if you pick up the book, you will get some inspiration, words of wisdom. You'll definitely learn something about yourself that you probably didn't know before you started reading the book. And again, in the book, there's a little bit of homework for you to do to just really dive in deep and to learn more and explore more within yourself with regards to some of the teachings that are shared in the book. So if you're interested in getting the book or finding out more about Courtney or anything like that, then I highly suggest that you check out her website at teachingsfromgod.com. Go ahead and click on her social media buttons and like her buttons or become a friend with her on Facebook or, share your words of wisdom or what you got maybe out of just listening to this segment of Blissful Living that may help you or may have helped you to get through your day just a little bit better with her words of wisdom. And with that, I would just like to thank you, Courtney, for being a guest on the show. It was really awesome to have you, and really do appreciate when I come across a young person that is really divinely in tune to there's more to life than just them and what they want to do. And there is a divine connection to all of us. So it's a beautiful thing when you come across someone that's young and in tune with that, because you know that person is a gift to the world. So thank you, and thank you for writing your book and sharing your words of wisdom with us here on Blissful Living. And to all of you out there listening, as always, I do like to close the segment and remind you once again to check out the sponsors, healthhealingwellness.com and alldaycableinc.com. And if you are someone you know is looking to get more exposure with regards to their business and what they do, please connect with us at blissful-living.net. Connect with us, and we may be able to get just a little bit more exposure by the thousands to this person that might be looking to get some exposure in a very subtle form, but very powerful form. Okay, so as always, to all of you, thanks for listening. It was my pleasure to bring Courtney Admonson to you and have her share her wisdom on Teachings from God, her latest book. And I just want to wish you all peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. Have a beautiful week, and until next week, be healthy, happy, well, full of joy, laughter, and peace. This is Rochelle Marie Lawson, the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, saying goodbye for now.